So between Easter Sunday, in which we celebrate the life of Christ, and Pentecost Sunday, which is next Sunday, in which we celebrate life in the Spirit, we have been talking about the stuff of resurrection. We've been talking about our treasures, the temple of our body, our time, and our tasks. And today we're going to talk about our testimony, about how God has entrusted us with a testimony about him and his ways and what he has done. So I want us to think a little bit about our testimony, what it is, and who we testify to. But first, imagine with me. Imagine that I'm just a castaway, an island lost at sea. Another lonely day with no one here but me. More loneliness than any man could bear. Rescue me before I fall into despair. So maybe I'll send an SOS to the world. I'll send an SOS to the world, and I hope that someone gets my message in a bottle. But a year has passed since I wrote my notes. But I should have known this right from the start. Only hope can keep me together. Love can mend your life, and love can break your heart. So I'm going to send an SOS to the world. I'll send an SOS to the world, and I hope that someone gets my message in a bottle. But I walked out this morning, and I don't believe what I saw. 100 million bottles washed up on the shore. Seems I'm not alone at being alone. 100 billion castaways looking for a home. I'll send an SOS to the world. I'll send an SOS to the world. I hope someone gets my message in a bottle. Does not this song speak to our situation? Maybe this is you. Maybe this is where you're at, sending out messages of help, needing hope. This is our world. 100 billion castaways looking for a home. Looking for an answer. And with this world, are we sending out messages of loneliness? Are we sending out messages of hopelessness? Or are we sending out messages of belonging and of hope? Are we sending out a message of weariness and despair? Or instead, do we send out a message of rest and peace? Are we sending out an SOS that if we don't get any help, we're going to die? Or are we sending out the message that life indeed has come? What messages are we declaring? What are we testifying to? What is our testimony? Last winter, the pastors were tasked with thinking up some way to preach about stewardship. You know, last winter, we talked a lot about our budget, the money, and different things, and how we were going to kind of organize our life financially. And we felt, you know what, we should probably organize some sort of series about these issues a little bit more than we have. But we had to do that, like, in a Life on the Vine kind of way, of course, right? We weren't just going to teach, you know, 7 different helps about money management according to the Bible or something. Not yet, that is. So I began researching, you know, looking into, you know, well, what can we do at Life on the Vine that would make sense for us? And we started talking about a sermon series about stewardship and trying to think bigger than just money and, you know, what are our whole lives? How can we be stewards of our whole lives and everything that God has given us? But the more I looked into it, the more I learned that really Scripture in the New Testament doesn't talk about stewardship that much. Not as much as maybe sometimes we're led to believe when you go to churches and they talk about money management or something like that. But rather, it's just the grace of God being poured out into us through all the things in our lives. And so instead we've had this sermon series on the stuff of resurrection. How does God's resurrection life flow in and through us in all of our ways? But it's interesting that even though I was shifting the focus from stewardship to grace when it comes to all these different things, that I came across this verse in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4. Think of us in this way, Paul says, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. It is required of stewards that we be found trustworthy. Paul here, in a sense, is defending his apostolic ministry. There's all these divisions and things happening in Corinth. Some people want to follow Paul. Some people want to follow Apollos. There's all these famous preachers and teachers that people are kind of chasing after. Now, Paul is trying to set the record straight. We are all servants. We are servants of God. That is it. There's nothing more to us. We are servants, and we've been entrusted. Some of your translations in that verse might say entrusted. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We have been entrusted with God's mystery. We are stewards of the great mysteries of God. We don't own these things. We've been entrusted with them. And so don't be following after us. Rather, follow God. In Paul's mind, his primary stewardship is not with his treasures, and not even with his time, or his tasks, or the temple of his body. These are the things we've been talking about. He doesn't think of himself needing to steward those things. Instead, he understands that the only thing that he properly is stewarding is the gospel. He's been given something by God, and he's expected to do something with it. He's expected to be faithful with what he's been given. And so today, for all of us, we have to know that God has entrusted us with his most valuable resource. His most valuable resource is he entrusted to us, and that is our witness, our testimony. It's not our money. It's not our time. It's not the things we have or the things we do, but it's our testimony. And we have to recall what Jesus said in Acts when he was leaving. And I mentioned this earlier. They came together and they asked him, Lord, this is Acts 1 verse 6, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? So they're asking about the kingdom of God. Is this the time when it's going to happen, when it's going to come about? And he says, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set for his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Two things Jesus said. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. Next week, Juliet's going to be talking about the Holy Spirit coming, Pentecost. So we'll just kind of put that to the side. This week we're talking about witness and testimony and testify. And in your Bibles, usually when you see the word testify, testimony, or witness, those are usually all the same Greek word. They're all this. We don't usually. Sometimes it's weird grammatically to use witness in a certain form, and so it switches to testify or testimony. But those are all the same words. And so when you're reading Scripture and you come across all these different words, they're really the same idea. Testify, witness, testimony. And so Jesus says, don't think about when this is going to happen. You're asking the wrong questions, disciples. It's not when is the kingdom going to come. It's in what manner. How is it going to come? It's not when is it going to come. It's how is it going to come. And it's going to come when the Spirit comes upon you and you testify and you witness to all that I've done. God's kingdom comes through our witness. You have been entrusted with God's kingdom. You have been entrusted with the building and extending of God's kingdom through your witness. God has entrusted you with his most valuable resource, your testimony. And so how should we live our lives then? What are some examples of this? Well, later in 1 Corinthians, Paul, he discusses his own ministry. He understands that he has been entrusted with the gospel, with his testimony of what God has done. And so in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 and through 23, he says, "For I am free, but I have made myself a slave to all people. And why? So that I could win many more. To the Jews, I became a Jew so that I might win them. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. To those without a law, I became as one without a law, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I might save some of them. I do all things for the sake of the gospel." So Paul has been entrusted with the mysteries of the gospel, and he has taken it upon himself to figure out every single possible way to be all things to all people so that he could share this testimony. And in Acts 3, we hear of Peter and John. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along. And they used to put him down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order that he might beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When Peter and John were about to go into the temple, the crippled man, began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him. 'Look at us,' he said. And this man began to give his attention to them, and he was expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk.' And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood up and began to walk, and he entered the temple and began walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Peter knew that the most valuable thing that he'd been entrusted was witnessing to the power of Jesus Christ. And he was more than willing to figure out a way to give that to this man. This man was only expecting much less. He was just expecting some money, a little material need. And yet Peter saw through that and went straight to the heart of the situation, proclaiming the power of Christ in his life. And just like Peter, we have been entrusted with God's most valuable resource, our testimony to God's power. Last fall, we went through a preaching series about life in Christ. And part of the side purpose of that whole preaching series was to equip us with many different aspects and angles of sharing the gospel. We were trying to equip us to know how to proclaim the gospel, that Jesus abides in us, that Jesus justifies us from guilt, cleanses us from sin, redeems us from death, reconciles us to one another, adopts us into into his family, loves us, frees us, and is recreating us. We tried to give a whole bunch of different ways to see into and to speak God's life for us, but also for those around us. These are all the facets and aspects of the gospel, doorways into gospel proclamation. So the question that I want to challenge us with that series in mind and also today, is, are we being good stewards with our testimony? Have we been good stewards with the testimony God has given to us? All of us engage in professional development, don't we? Professional developments. Teachers go to in-service days or maybe take some continuing education classes. Managers go to seminars. Engineers go to engineering conferences. Even parents read books on parenting. Have I missed a profession? Florists practice their craft, right? So we're all developing our professions in some fashion. This is usually, most people take this as part of the continuing work in their life, is to kind of get better at the things they do. And that's, you know, the wise. That's expected. That's what we should be doing. But do we take that same intention into cultivating, crafting our testimonies? Do we take that same intention into raising our competency in sharing our own testimony? Do you know and can you recite the major markers in your life, the spiritual breakthroughs that have happened in your life? Do you remember the major downturns in your life where God has met you? Do you remember the upturns, the great breakthroughs in your life that you can share and celebrate with other people? Do you know, do you have confidence in being able to bring up what God has done in your life to others? Or do we hide our light under a bushel? Oh, no. Or do we let Satan blow it out? No. We shouldn't. We should let our little light shine. I'm not talking about learning, you know, some very aggressive evangelistic strategies or things like that. But what has God given you? How has God spoken? How has God worked and lived and redeemed your life? Really, what I'm talking about is for all of us to be confident in sharing what God has done in our lives, not what we demand that God will do in someone else's life. There's a big difference. We're not, our testimony, our witnessing isn't to prove someone that God has to work in this and this way, or that something needs to happen in their heart. It's to say, hey, this is what God has done. This is how God's kingdom has come in my life. And I think if you're open, it could come in your life too, in some fashion. God has entrusted us with his most valuable resource, your testimony. Not sharing our testimony is not being a good steward. And not preparing is not being a good steward. Paul says that he, as a steward, needs to be faithful. And who is he faithful to? He's faithful to the one that has entrusted him with these great gifts. And so are we letting fear, embarrassment, awkwardness, unpreparedness keeping us from being good stewards? In God's economy, if I can speak this way, God isn't looking for a wise investment of our testimony. It's not like money where you can make a bad investment. You can invest your money in some company or some stock or something, and it can go down, and then you lose money. That's not how it works in God's economy. We're supposed to just freely give away our testimony. The thing we've been steward, we're actually supposed to be losing. We're supposed to lose it, give it away at all times. And the only cost to us is maybe some awkwardness or an embarrassment, but usually not. Usually people are pretty open. Like, wow, that's amazing. That's what's happened in your life. So can we give away what we've been entrusted? And when we do, it is then when we are being most faithful. God has entrusted us with his most valuable resource, your testimony. I just want to end by challenging, not by giving you a bunch of homework, but maybe in your triads or missional orders, listing out, like, what is my testimony? If you can't summarize maybe your testimony in a couple sentences of a couple of key things that God has done, maybe you should spend some time this afternoon or during prayer, right now, writing those things down. This is how God has worked in my life. I want to celebrate that. And I want to be prepared for times and opportunities to share. So we're going to enter into a prayer time. And there's no set words, but I just want us to think about two things. One would be, what are the things we can celebrate that God has done for us? And then the other one would be opportunities and places in which to share those things. So we can just pray for how God has met us and ministered to us and brought us life, or pray for opportunities, people, and situations where we can share that testimony. Let's pray.